Great, great. Is this Brent Winnie?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Yes, hi. Good evening. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, just so you know, I'm managing editor of the Explorer newspaper. Are you familiar with it from growing up there in Oro Valley?
Yes, I've read it before.
Okay. Yeah, we're like your hometown newspaper, so I know that everyone will be very excited and amazed to read about, you know, what you accomplished here. And so I just wanted to ask you now, you graduated in 2006 from CDO?
Yes, I graduated in December 2006,
okay.
But my class was 07, so
okay.
Semester early.
Okay, yeah, because I spoke with your dad yesterday, and
yes.
He had said, you know, 2007, so that's why I wanted to clarify. And have you spoken with him since dealing with this mass casualties?
No, I haven't, actually.
Okay, just so you know.
Yeah,
he's extremely proud. He's extremely proud of you. I know. I could tell he's always been proud of you, but like I say, this was really just, he was amazed. So I just wanted to let you know that. But now, do you still live in Oro Valley, or you're just, since you're in the military, I don't know if you have a home base?
Actually, I joined the reserves, so I guess technically my base would be in Tucson. So.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, your dad was saying that you enlisted in the military, the day you graduated or the day after?
I don't remember exactly, but it was pretty close after I graduated high school. It was pretty soon.
And can you tell me why you, because he said that you had actually wanted to enlist even earlier, but he told you, no, you need to graduate. Can you tell me why you wanted to enlist?
See, a lot of it was a feeling after 9/11. I knew I would join the military at some point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I was looking for the guidance and the discipline.
Oh, okay.
And always just something I really wanted to do. Can't really explain exactly why, but something I knew I wanted to do.
And sometimes you just know.
Remember 9/11, that helped it too. I'm sorry?
I said sometimes you just know. Yeah, okay.
I was kind of, when he's talking about time, you know, I was kind of joining the Marine Corps at first.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually setting those plans in motion. And then, yeah, I had to have both my parents' signatures, and he told me no. So then a couple months later, when I turned 18, I started talking to a Navy recruiter because I became interested in being a medic.
Uh-huh.
And the Marines told me they don't have those. You have to be a Navy corpsman for that. So I started talking to a Navy recruiter, and that's where they talked to me about Navy corpsman serving with the Marines. And I basically said, that's for me. I want to do it.
Yeah, okay.
A couple months later, I went to boot camp.
Okay, so now how old are you now? Are you 23?
I'm 22.
22 now. Okay, when's your birthday?
December 10th, 1988.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, because one of the questions I was going to ask was regarding your medical training. So you knew you wanted to be a medic before you enlisted?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Any idea why medicine?
It was something I was interested in at the time, and I'd like to help people in addition to serve my country. So
mm-hmm.
That was a big indicator for me.
Okay, so it wasn't where
I decided to do it.
Wasn't where you had maybe a doctor in your family, or you had had an illness yourself and you wanted to help other people that way?
No, it's just I just decided I wanted to help people on my own. I can't really say I had an illness in the family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a history of doctors or anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Just that desire, which is wonderful. Okay. And so now, once you joined the Navy, you went to boot camp, and now, what type of medical training have you had? I know when I spoke with Tim, he had mentioned it's like a step up from EMT, but he couldn't remember what that term was. Can you tell me what your rank is? Or rate is for that?
HM3, which is the Hospital Corpsman Third Class, is what that means.
Okay. And so what does that mean?
It's basically an E4
can you tell me in civilian terms? That's okay. I know.
The civilian equivalent.
Okay.
it's the first level of somewhat having more responsibility. You always have a lot of responsibility, but I guess once you make a petty officer, which is in the Navy, anyways, it's your first real real leadership role.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now, just as far as the training, was it what you expected? Because you said you were interested in becoming a medic when they were training you, where you're like, okay, yes, this is what I wanted to learn, or were you surprised at some of the things you were being taught?
At first, it wasn't what I expected, because knowing I wanted to serve with the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
So after, of course, I went to Navy boot camp because I'm in the Navy. And then afterwards, we went to something called a basic hospital core school, which is what all Navy corpsmen go to.
Okay, I'm sorry. Basic hospital.
And that basic hospital core school.
Core school, okay.
That's where they just teach you the basics of becoming a basic Navy corpsman.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, that includes, all the EMT basic-type training and then a little bit of nursing in there because it's designed to, that role is designed to work in a clinic or a hospital or on a ship.
Okay. All right, and then how long did that take to go through that training?
I think it was 3 or 4 months. I'm not sure. I got there in I got there in August, and I left in November. So.
Okay, and where was that at?
Early August.
No, but I mean where?
I'm sorry.
Was that stateside or?
That was. Yes, ma'am. That was in the Great Lakes, Illinois.
Oh, okay. Okay, which is where my nephew. Is in the Navy, and so he attended his training in Great Lakes as well. Yeah, so okay.
What does he do?
He's a chief petty officer on a ship near Sasebo, Japan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So he's been there a couple of years now, and his tour I think will be up at the end of this year. So hopefully we'll have him closer to home. But okay.
Good.
Now, do you have continuous training, since that initial basic training?
Oh yes. Yes. After that, the corpsmen who serve with the Marines go to a completely different school. That's where they teach you how to serve with the Marine Corps and all the field, the combat medicine.
Oh, okay. And where did that take place?
And it's called the Field Medical Training Battalion, and that's at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina.
Okay, Field Medical Training? Okay,
Training Battalion, yes.
Battalion, okay. Okay. And so as you're getting deeper and deeper with this medical training, are you feeling more and more at home with it?
Oh, yes. That was a few years ago. And while you're in the Navy, they continuously train you, and you keep getting more and more training. So I've been to numerous training packages since getting out of the basic stuff that everyone gets when you enlist.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like you had some pretty good preparation for this particular incident that took place on June 30th.
Yes. The Navy enlisted medical training is it's pretty good. We get a lot of good training.
Okay. So once on June 30th itself, I know according to the article that you hadn't been feeling well, so you had gone back and were by yourself when the casualties started to arrive. Was it thanks to this training that you were kind of able to switch gears and go into action mode?
Absolutely. The more you train, the more automatic it is when stuff like this happens, and you just revert back to your training under the stress, and that's really helpful.
Okay. Well, I mean, how did you, I know you said you revert back to training, but I know that you're seeing people coming in, they're dramatically hurt. Are you able to completely distance yourself from what you're seeing, the emotion from getting into the mechanics of treating them medically?
It's not always that easy. I mean, this wasn't the first time I've had casualties before, so the prior experience helps, but it never goes away. I mean, there's always that basic human compassion that you see someone hurt. It's never really easy to see that stuff.
Right. Okay.
But at the end of the day, you realize that you gotta do your job. And you spend too much time freaking out about it, and you're not going to be able to help them. So that takes a role in decision making.
Okay, because I mean, at 22, going on 23, and I imagine being in the military, you've had more life experiences than someone else your age. But still, this was a monumental task to take on. Was there anything prior to your joining the military that you feel kind of helped out? Anything from your experiences here in Arizona while you were growing up? Were you kind of surprised yourself as well that you were able to handle a certain situation?
I was very surprised because I've had mass casualties before, but nowhere near this large. At the end of the day, I was surprised that I was able to, I guess,
well,
handle as much as I did.
Oh, you did a remarkable job.
Nothing.
Well, let me ask you, because I know that then you had...
I'm sorry, the phone's kind of breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? Okay.
I can hear you now.
Okay. When Sergeant Peterson came in and said he had some military training, how relieved were you to have another hand?
I was very thrilled. He came to me and told me that he had some EMT basic experience in the civilian world, and he's like, "How can I help?" And I was like, I just started directing him on stuff to do. And at first, he was a little hesitant. Cause, I mean, back in the civilian world, you don't see wounds like you do out here. I started directing him, and he actually did a very good job. I was very impressed with his performance.
Oh, that's great.
He helped me out a lot.
Well, let me ask you now. It's been more than a week since that incident. Have you heard from any of the the casualties, or excuse me, from any of the people, you know, saying, hey, thank you for helping? Have they been able to contact you, or?
I haven't heard anything from them.
Okay. I would imagine you normally don't.
In these situations, a lot of times don't. I try and get follow-ups on my patients, but a lot of times with the local Afghans, it's hard to do.
Okay. And let me just check my notes here. One other thing I also wanted to ask you about was, I spoke with Tim, we wanted to see if, let people know how they can help support your efforts over there. And so he had mentioned me asking, is there anything there that you need that people here in the States can send, or is there anything that they can do to help out to keep you guys going over there? Because I know you're doing such remarkable work that we would like to at least be able to say thank you or send you things that you need that you don't have.
The guys out here, we generally just like to know that people in the States care what's going on. Sometimes it's hard. It seems like the American people get distant. But we just like to hear it every once in a while. People know what's going on.
Okay. Is there a good way to do that? Sending cards, letters, emails, packages?
All that stuff works. We appreciate anything.
Okay. And is there anything as far
as
particular items? Can you get chocolate chip cookies out there? is there anything, something from home that you'd love to have?
Anything like that's a reminder of home. The guys out here really appreciate it.
Okay.
I know my group of guys go quite often without taking a shower.
Okay, sorry.
Hold on a second,
then.
Sorry, I'm back.
Okay.
We don't have to see baby wipes because...
baby wipes are helpful? Did you say?
Baby wipes. We go long periods of time without showers, so they kind of have to wipe stuff down.
Oh, okay. Okay, we'll put out a call for that. Now, where do they send those to? Do you guys have, a general delivery, or?
I really don't know.
Okay, I'll check with the other team members on that. Okay. And would you like me to get a message to your family?
Oh, yes. I thank them a lot for their support, and I love them and miss them.
Okay. I will be more than happy to do that. Your dad emailed me some pictures in addition to the ones I received with the article. So I will let him know that.
Okay.
And then anything else you'd like people to know about the work that you're doing over there?
Basically, what I'm doing is I'm a member of an embedded training team, which what we do is we partner directly with the Afghan Army.
Mm-hmm.
And we're responsible for, helping them out become a professional military force so they can take over security of the country when we leave eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So we do everything from helping them basically run. We're partnered on the CANDAC level, which is a battalion, basically what Americans would call a battalion. And we help them do all their admin and everything down to patrolling with them. So, and then additionally, I do medical training with the medics to help them learn how to be a medic.
Okay. And do you know how much longer you're going to be over there?
I'm sorry?
Do you know how much longer you're going to be stationed there?
Me personally, I'm going to be here a couple more months, and then I go home.
Okay, and when you say home, are you coming to Tucson, or are you going to Hawaii, or?
I will be back in Tucson at least for a while when I get back. I'm going to, I'm coming back to Tucson at least for a little bit.
Fantastic. I hope you will contact me when you get back there. We would love to welcome you back here, and I know all the Tucson people would as well. Now, will you still be in the military? Are you making a career out of lifelong career out of this? Or
I haven't decided fully yet. I've still got about a year and a half left before I decide whether or not to re-enlist.
Okay.
I've got to do a lot of thinking.
Okay.
But it's definitely been worth it for me. I'm glad I joined. I wouldn't take it back for anything.
Good. Do you think you'll follow up with your career in medicine even if you don't re-enlist?
Yes, I definitely plan on doing something in medicine at this point.
Okay.
I'm thinking about working towards PA or at least medical administration.
Okay. Well, like I say, please contact us at the paper. We may be able to hook you up with some of the medical industry here. Give you a little heads up, a little leg up on something. So, well, thank you very much for your time, and thank you so much for your service. Really appreciate everything, and we're so very proud of what you did on June 30th and continue to do today. And I will send a link to the story back to your teammates, and then they can forward it to you. Well, thank you again, Brent. It was just a pleasure and an honor to speak with you.
Thank you very much.
All righty, and give my best to everybody there. Tell them thank you.
I will. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Nice talking to you.